You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
We've got our own NFLPA executive joining us here on 98.7 ESPN, a very dear friend of mine, one of my favorite humans on the planet. That is Carl Francis. Carl, how are you doing this morning?
How are you doing this morning, Anita? Thank you for having me.
I miss you, man. I miss you. No combine, no Super Bowl. I haven't seen you in a while.
It seems like 5 years ago. It just seems too long for sure. I mean, yes. It's been a long time.
It has. And we're blessed and we're thrilled that you're on with us this morning. Thank you very much. I appreciate you, my friend.
Thank you.
All right, so let's dive right into it. I'm hearing that 18 of the 32 teams and those players are going to be boycotting OTAs. We're talking about 10. Typically, teams average 10 OTAs in 3 mini camps. So your thoughts, 18 to 32, it's a pretty solid number, and I wouldn't be surprised if that number increases in the next few days.
You know what it says is that players are starting to take this. Well, they have always taken it serious, but players are empowered. Players are looking at this as an opportunity to bring their voices together and to join their efforts in making sure that the league understands that they're very serious about their feelings toward these off-season workouts, and particularly in a pandemic. Let's just not talk about off-season workouts. Like, players want to work out. Players want to engage. They want to connect. They want to lift with each other and work out. But we're still in the middle of a pandemic. And so that's really what we're talking about, that space, more than anything. Then players just don't want to work out. You know, players just don't want to, you know, come together and work out, run, lift, do all the things that make them great athletes on a great team in the fall. But it's in a pandemic. And so these are the things that we're really, really talking about. I don't want people to, you know, misunderstand that these players do want to work out together and they want to become in jail during the offseason. But it's just during the pandemic that they have these concerns. That's all.
Well, you know, the argument to that, Carl, is there a safer space than at a facility? Listen, you know, I wasn't at the Giants facility, but I know quite a few people who work at the Giants facility. And, I mean, we're talking about they'd have to walk around with a device where, you know, players are throwing these colors out because I don't remember them exactly, but, like, players are blue, you know, PR staff and sales department is red, media is orange, and if orange gets within 10 feet of blue, their device goes off. You're not even allowed to be 10 feet next to a player. I mean, it's the safety precautions that I know the length that the Giants went through, and I would imagine that the other clubs went to, and please tell me if you think I'm wrong, but, like, is there a safer space than that an NFL facility for a lot of us human beings?
It's a safer space when you're required to be there when you're trying to get through a football season, right? It's a safer space when you're playing games that count towards the Super Bowl. But in a voluntary environment where you're required to stay in a particular location for several weeks at a time, I don't know if that's the trade-off, because it is a voluntary space, right? And it may be considered a safe space, right? But it's a safe space during a voluntary process where they're not required to be there, you know? And so you're right. During the season, you could not have been in a safer place, right, at the facility during the season when you're trying to perform, play games. But during a voluntary workout environment, you're technically going to be required to be there because you'll be under COVID protocols. That's what makes it a little unusual, and that's what makes it uncomfortable for the players.
Again, Carl Francis joining us here from the NFLPA. You know, I'll be honest with you. When I first read this, Carl, and you know I'm always honest with you, the first thing I thought is, these dudes are upset with the 17 games. these dudes are upset with the 17 games. They're like, you know what? We're not coming to OTA. You're 17 games. We're not going to OTAs. That's the first thing I thought of. You know, and Carl, you know, I'm probably not the only one.
I get it. But you know what? This voluntary mandatory issue has been going on, and you and I have been around for a long time. It's been like that for a very long time, and players have worked through that space But now players are really, really exercising it, right? And they've exercised it to a degree, but not in a more unified way like they're doing today. And I think that, you know, people are getting there misconstrued as though, oh, they're skipping out on workouts. They're not demanding, but they're making a decision not to attend a voluntary workout. And so this is a little different, and this has no direct correlation with the 17 games. This is just talking about being required to attend a voluntary workout session. This is what the space that we're in.
But it's not just, but keep in mind, Carl, it's not just one. It's 10, and it's 3 mini camps. And I understand, you know, what the NFLPA is suggesting is that, you know, the first 4 weeks, mm-hmm. you go virtual. Here's and I talked about this, and the Jets and the Giants are part of the 18 of the 32 teams. And what concerns me is mm-hmm. looking at the draft, Trevor Lawrence going to the Jags, Zach Wilson going to the Jets, Mac or Justin Fields go to the 49ers. Atlanta might take Trey Lance. You got a lot of young quarterbacks. And Trey Lance and Zach Wilson, mm-hmm. especially for – you've got a lot of listeners listening to you right now that are Jets fans. Zach Wilson, we know, BYU, kind of a one-year wonder. Hasn't played a lot of college football. Isn't like a senior mm-hmm. where he started 4 years. This is going to be a learning process for him. And if he's going to miss all this OTA time and the mini camps, that's a huge hit for a team that's traded away Sam Darnold and is bringing in a rookie quarterback. I mean, you know, I know, you know, I've had friends, and I know I'm dating myself here. When American Airlines went on strike, my roommate at the mm-hmm. time was one of the lead airline flight attendants for American Airlines, and she was the lead mm-hmm. flight attendant for the Miami Dolphin charters. And she didn't want to lose that gig. It was a huge gig for her. So she did right. not, she did not boycott. She did not strike. And for the rest of her career, she was known as a scab. She crossed those lines, and I understand why she had to do it, but like, so I hate to use that word scab, but like, again, 18 of 32 teams, but you know, for players that would be like, well, I'm going to go. Are any concern that, you know, a team in its unity, like any concern that a team's not going to come together with all of their players to say, listen, we're not going to attend. If there's a player or two that breaks that, could cause some dissension within the team. Wouldn't that be a concern?
Oh, no, not at all. Because, you know, we've never demanded players take action on any decision regarding voluntary or mandatory things of that nature. And I think that the players do understand certain players have certain obligations, such as maybe workout bonuses, right? You got rookies coming in. I don't think that players will hold that against others. It's just a professional decision that you have to make as a professional individual and as a player. But based on where we are, we as a union must step up and be the front voice for all of our players and letting them know what we think, not necessarily the risk, but what their rights are, and that these workouts are voluntary, and we're in a pandemic. And so we just believe that players have the right to exercise their position in accordance to what they feel. And so this is not a force buzz. This is not a demand by the union. This is just us giving them their rights, as we've always done, and expressing how serious this is and how we think this is important to their future. Now, if they decide to go in, then that's perfectly fine. But I think that it's important for us to lay out all the facts with our members. And to see that we had no workout with every rookie drafted, some quarterbacks, and to see a season played, and we got to a Super Bowl, and we had a Super Bowl winner. We had the playoffs. Like, we had a very successful, productive year last year in a football COVID environment, and with no offseason at all. So we don't think that making this decision this offseason would have that much of an effect this upcoming season.
Again, Carl Francis joining us here on 98.7 ESPN, part of the NFLPA. You know, interesting, a New England Patriots player said, Bill tells me to report, I report. Chances are the Patriots become one of those, one more of those 18 of 32 teams. I highly doubt it, right?
Right. Well, I don't know, but you know, who knows what certain guys are, but you're right. You're right.
What? I mean, Carl, what is it? What is it about Bill? Like, you know, oh, so you're going to say no to Joe Judge. You're going to say no to Robert Saleh, right? Two new coaches here in the New York area. Of course, Joe Judge coming on his second season. But Bill Belichick, no.
Right.
Bill Belichick says, jump. I say, how high? You know, I mean, it's just like, it's a different breed of coach over there in New England, isn't it?
Well, yes, I guess I would have to agree with you. But like I say, these guys are not forced. It's voluntary, and they've always known it's involuntary ever since I've been here at the Players Association. And we want to make sure they know that it is voluntary. They have the right. A lot of veterans are very in tune with their bodies. They're in tune with their work schedules, and they know how to work. And a lot of them work with some rookies who come in who need the support, need the help. And so a lot of players feel as though they can get it done on their own based on their own schedule and on treatment, on professional, trainers, things of that nature. So I think it's like you say, it's an individual choice. But we support players who may decide to go in, but we certainly support the players who decide not to report.
Your thoughts, just two more questions before I let you go and get on to, hopefully you're having a beautiful Sunday down there in the D.C. area like we are here in New York.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on the 17-game season? Like, you knew it was coming because of the collective bargaining agreement, but your thoughts on how that's going to play out? I know a lot of the players aren't happy about it, Carl.
I think it's going to play out well. I think it's going to equal itself out when you have one less preseason game. I think players are going to produce, and players are creatures of habitat. You know, it's in their nature just to play football. I mean, that's what they're trained to do. That's how they're mentally wired to do. And I think they'll adjust. I think they'll play. And I think you'll see some great football, some unbelievable plays. Will there be injuries? Of course, it is called football. Anita, you know that very well.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
There's a lot of physical contact in the game of football. But I do think that you will see a great game. I think you'll see the high scoring, all the things that we love about the game, I think will happen this year. We'll see some unique plays happen. And I think you have a great season. I really do, honestly.
Last but not least, I always, I see you at the draft. Again, I haven't seen you in a while. I haven't been to a combine.
Right.
Haven't been to a Super
yep.
Bowl. I miss you. Are you going to be, it's Chicago again this year, right? I don't know. I'm drawing a blank right now, right?
Cleveland.
Is it Cleveland?
The draft.
Is it
Cleveland? Yep, the draft. Cleveland,
right? Okay. A, are you going to be there? B, what do you think about this year's draft? I mean, there's a lot of buzz, a lot of excitement for the first time in a long time, if ever. I mean, there's some speculation that four quarterbacks are going to go in the first four picks.
Yep. I'm not sure if I'm going to attend, but I think it's going to be a great year. I mean, this is the year of the wide receivers, too. I mean, there's some awesome talent out there. The quarterbacks are just, I mean, you know, that's the one thing you got to love about our game. Our game produces some of the best young talent across this country. I mean, these kids are coming in more skilled, more prepared, just the sizes and the speed. I mean, this has been the fastest class that we've had in a very long time, particularly in the wide receiver area. And I think it's going to be a great year. You're going to see a lot of speed across the National Football League, let me tell you. And I think that it's going to be very productive. And I think even the veterans we have coming back, I just think that mixture of both, we're going to have another great, great season, great year. I mean, there's a reason we're the number one sport in North America, because we produce great athletes and great games. So I'm looking forward to another great season.
Carl, thank you so much again for joining us this morning. You know how much I appreciate you. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday fun.
Oh, likewise. You too now. Take care. Talk to you soon.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.